everyone. Welcome back to the Change Your Mind podcast, where we explore personal development, spirituality, and science. I'm your host, Chris Ashley. I'm really excited. I have an animal communicator with me today. And if you've been listening to my show a lot, you know I'm a huge animal lover. If you've read my book, you know I'm a huge animal lover. So I'm really excited for today's conversation. Couple quick announcements. Head to the link in the show notes. You'll find a link for my book, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. It was endorsed by three experts from The Secret: Michael Beckwith, Marcy Shimoff, Bob Doyle. It's also endorsed by John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. So go check it out. There's also links to sponsor the podcast. There's links to my courses, free workshops, free downloads. And of course, I always have my amazing guest link as well. So let's get right into it, because I'm so excited to talk about animals. I was thinking about even having my dog in here with me, but then there might be chaos. So, hi, I'm Chris. When I was younger, I went through trauma that caused me to feel broken and lost. But my life changed after I had a spiritual awakening. Since then, I've dedicated my life to studying and learning from masters all around the world that have helped me to create a life of fulfillment and abundance beyond my wildest dreams. Now I'm dedicated to sharing everything I've learned so that you don't have to suffer for decades like I did. I've seen people's lives completely transform, and I share it all right here. With me today, I have Mary Beth Decker. Mary Beth is an intuitive animal communicator, medical intuitive, and energy healer. And she's the founder of sacredgrove.com, where people and pets heal and connect. She works with pet guardians who dearly love their animals yet face tough issues. She uses her intuitive animal communication and energetic healing skills to address animals' physical, emotional, and behavioral issues. So welcome, Mary Beth. I'm really happy you're here today.
Thanks. I'm so glad to be here. And I would love the chaos of having your dog in the room, but that's me.
We might bring him in. The problem is, I don't know if you can tell outside this window, there's a walking path and it's like a dog parade out there all the time. You'll probably see dogs walk by.
I just saw one walk by.
So he likes to bark out the window. But maybe we'll invite, there's a cat somewhere too. Well, maybe we'll invite him in later. Okay. So Mary Beth, I always start my podcast the exact same way. And that is by asking my guests what their origin story is. So how did you come to be an animal communicator? Were you born with this gift, or was it something that you developed?
That's a great way to start it, is because I always say I was not born an animal communicator. I like to laugh and say I did not come out of the womb communicating with animals. It's not who I am. And actually, I'm really glad I can say that, because that means to me, I'm a lesson that says you can pick this up anytime if you want to. We're born with all the pieces, we just have to start tuning into it and opening up to it. But so I don't know how far we want to go back here. Give me just a sec. I think that in spite of being somebody who seemed to be a little scared of stuff, I still jumped in and said yes to a lot of things. Like I did have a spiritual experience when I was 12 or 13, and I asked God if God exists, and I got an answer. And it's like, holy cow. So then you move on to being a teenager, and you got other things to do and stuff like that. But I had a foundation now of knowing that there's a bigger world out there, and there are connections that I can make that I didn't really think were possible for me. And as I'm saying that, I've never said it quite this way before, so thank you for giving me this opportunity. I joined the Navy, and people go, Navy to animal communicator? So I thought about that, and I think that we're all like tied down to very strict values. And what the Navy did for me was it took me out of a very small way of seeing the world. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with it, but there is a lot going on in the world that you don't always know about when you're growing up. And so you took me out of my hometown, met people from different places in the U.S., and then I got to be stationed in lots of places that were not like the Northeast where I grew up. And I met people with different backgrounds and religions and stuff like that. And my mind started to open up. That's the only way I can say it is, thank you, Navy. Spent 3 years in Japan. There were Navy people who went there, stayed on the base at Yokosuka and ate McDonald's for 3 years. Sadly enough.
In Japan, you ate McDonald's for 3 years?
I did not. I said there were, wait.
Oh, okay.
There were people who spent their whole time in Japan staying on the base.
Wow, what a waste of being somewhere exotic for years.
Thank you. So I got a place outside. I rented a place outside Yokosuka, and I got around. And boy, that opened me up to a lot of stuff. Thank you, Navy. And glad you had me clarify that. And so the Navy, I think, opened me up to, like, there are different ways to seeing how the world works. There's a lot more stuff going on. And then I retired and had kids and got a career. And at the end of that career, I was like, it's time for something else. And I got the urge to do massage and then became a Reiki master because one of my fellow students was a Reiki master. And I learned that and I started doing energy healing. And that just opened me up to so much stuff. And then my dog started communicating with me. I'm like, what the heck is happening? I didn't even know animal communication was like a possibility. And my friend said, Mary Beth, that's animal communication. So I said, okay, I like it. I'm going to get trained. And what's really lovely is the first guys that communicated with me were my dog, Timmy, and my girl dog, Eddie, and they had already passed. So I got my first lesson that our beloved pets survive the death of their physical bodies. And that just like, wow, that's good news. And then learned how to communicate with animals who are still on the planet and learned all that other stuff, medical intuition, energy healing, animal communication, and worked them all together so we could really help people and their animals have a better life. I mean, it's all about relationships these days with our animals. Anyway, for me and my friends, it is.
Yeah. I mean, I always say that my dogs are love incarnated into a physical body. Like it just feels so good to be around them. But hold on. I have so many questions about your story because you said so many things that I was like, wait, I want to know more about that. Wait, I want to know more about that. So first going like way back and by the way, thank you for sharing your story. I love hearing people's origin stories. And like you said, I love that you weren't born that way. You continually opened yourself up and learned more. And, you know, this podcast is about personal development and spirituality. And I believe that humans are all born with these kind of gifts that we just don't tap into them. So I think that's really inspirational for listeners to hear. So the first question I had is, you asked God if God existed and you got an answer. So can you elaborate on that a little bit for me?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I say God because I don't use male or female because the way I experienced God was not a gender. It was, but what I experienced was God, this is how it seemed to me. God removed the energy from their energy, from my understanding, my experience. And I felt what the world was like without God's presence. And it was the equivalent of a body being thrown in a vacuum. There was just like, oh, there's nothing here. It's dead. It was horrible. And just like if you were gasping for air, then God brought themselves back in. And I'm like, oh, so you're everywhere and everything. Wow. And I had such a strong sense that God was loving, intelligent, caring. Like, who expected to get an answer from that one? You know, doesn't that being have more important things to do to some kid on the verge of teenagehood? And yet I got an answer. And at that point, I didn't doubt it, but it's not a lot of things that you can run back and say, hey, mom, dad, friends, I just had an experience with God. And they're like, yeah, right. So
were you in a meditation or like, what was the setup?
I was 12 years old in the woods, just sitting there thinking, and said, you know, I've been going to a lot of catechism classes, and I mean, it really sounds good. Is this real? And I got, are you real? Do you exist? And that's how I got it. I, wow. 12 or 13, no meditation background, just the open question, which was amazing.
That's really beautiful. That gives me goosebumps. That's really beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. That's really cool. Okay. So you said that the first communication you got was from your dog, or was it the two dogs that passed? But can you walk us through that a little bit, paint that picture a little bit more? Like, what was the communication? How did you know it was from them? You know, tell me more about it.
Okay. So first one was with my dog, Timmy. And that was so dang clear because I was in the kitchen cooking dinner badly, I might say. I'm a terrible, terrible cook. And out of the corner of my eye, I see him sitting in the dining room. I mean, it wasn't, we know the ghostly stories, you know, you see through them. And this was as if he was right there physically. And it was a number of years after he passed. It wasn't like, you know, 3 months later. Saw him out of the corner of my eye, turned and said, Timmy, and he was gone. I did not make this up. It was way too clear, Chris. And it was out of, if you'd like to use your imagination, of course, we know when our animals pass, a lot of us go, just give me a sign. Just give me a sign. And we get them. But this was not that thing. He passed. How do you say? You find a certain place where you can live and move forward. I was in that place. I wasn't looking for a sign. I mean, I got it anyway. He showed up. He was doing good. He had one ear up and one ear down.
I love when dogs have that.
which is my Timmy. Hung out, happy, grinning. So I'm like, oh my, you showed up and you're happy and you made it through whatever you have to do to let me know that you're good. What a gift.
That's really cool. So I've actually had similar experiences, and so has my dad. So my childhood dog, Frosty, I saw multiple times sitting out on the hill in my parents' yard where he always sat. And then this is one of my favorite stories. So my dad had this big dog, Casey. He was an Akita Mastiff and Chow mix. He was like 140 pounds. He looked like a bear. But he was like afraid of the dark. Like he was just like a big baby. But he was like my dad's dog. And maybe 6 months after he passed, my dad was in the bathroom and he was sitting on the toilet and he had his underwear around his ankles, okay, which is important to the story. And all of a sudden, and my dad was like not a spiritual believer, like none of that, right? Like very realist, like here 3D earth. And all of a sudden into the room walks Casey. And it's not like, same thing, he couldn't see through him. It was like he was solid, like he could reach out and touch him. And at first he looked to the right towards the bed, and then he looked over and like made eye contact with my dad. And my dad's like, "Oh my God, Casey." And then Casey turned around and walked out of the room. And the underwear part is important because my dad got up and started like running after him, but he was like scrambling to, and he saw Casey turn into their den, and then he followed him in there and he was gone. And he was like, "I bet he did it while I was in the bathroom and my underwear were around, so I couldn't like follow him as quickly," right? So it's like, I couldn't see him disappear again. But ever since then, like he was like a spiritual believer after that. And I don't want to take over your whole podcast, but I have one more story, and I'm curious okay. about your take on this part. So Soda Pop, where's that picture? Oh, it's up on my shelf. But she was my heart dog. She passed this month, 2 years ago, and just like my child, right? And she visits me in dreams all the time. But ever since the day she died, twice a day, without fail, I see the number 555 on the clock. What are your thoughts on that? Because it's like literally almost 2 years now, every single day. And I'm always like, "Hey, Soda," every time I see it, because I don't know.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Do you have Soda's picture? Can you grab
it?
Yeah.
Or? Yeah. I have a puppy picture. Yeah. The closest one I have is her as a baby, but I love that picture.
Oh, hey,
she's a Coton de Tulier. I don't know if you know that breed.
I do not. I'm going to have to look that one up.
So Coton is the French word for cotton. And then Tulier is a port city in Madagascar. So they're the state dog of Madagascar. They're like on their postage stamps and stuff, but they're really similar to like Maltese and like Bichon.
It does. Okay. So it's definitely, yeah, she is there. And what I'm getting at is that's the closest she could come to an emoji to kind of show a smile. Whatever the equivalent of an exclamation point emoji, it's like, "Hi, hi, hi." It's coming through. "Hey, hey, hey." That's, you know. And, oh, and she gets a kick out of doing it too. It's it's just so funny that she does that. She thinks it's funny and she thinks it's cool that you love it. And it definitely feels like little emojis with a very strong energy of, "We're still connected. We're still connected. We're still here. I'm still here."
That's cool. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. That's really cool. I wasn't expecting you to ask her. That's awesome. It's like an answer right from the source. That's really cool.
That's what I do.
Yeah. No, of course it is. So I think that's a perfect segue to a very important question. What happens to our pets when they die?
I have worked with a lot of pets, pet animals who've passed away, and 100% their spirits survive death. And in fact, I've got as far as to say their souls survive death. And I don't have a problem with saying that, because when we get to know our animals at a very deeper level, we see the quality of who they are so clearly. And there's also somebody wonderful said, you know, love is never broken. You know, they are love, and our connection to them is love, and they survive. You know, there's also, and I want to say this, because there's some folks who think that their energy, personality energy, survives, but it just goes into the cloud of creator, sort of, hate to think of it, but sci-fi is like Back to the Borg or something. There's nothing left of them. And I'm sorry to say that has not been my experience. And it's, I think people that are looking at it that way have not opened themselves up to what's possible in connecting with their animals after they've passed.
So do you think, or in your experience, do they go to the same place that humans go to?
I think some humans send themselves to a very unpleasant place, and I don't think our animals go there. I believe that when there's love and the love connection is really strong, that yes, we will be with our animals as long as we want it and they want it. And I can't imagine anybody say no, thank you. So yes, I do. I do believe that in the best sense, through love, that we connect back and find each other.
I hope so.
I do believe it. There's beautiful. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, so do animals reincarnate?
My sense is they do. And I started feeling comfortable about that when I got my cat Mac. Was my daughter's cat. She got Mac and his sister Bunny, which was in college, and then she decided to go off to, India. And so mom got the cats. Mom and dad got the cats. And mom knew before dad that the cats weren't going anywhere else. He thought we were going to find a home for them.
No, but you can't do that. They're family.
Geez. Okay. Yeah. And the dogs took to it too. All right. Getting back to Mac. Since I know him, I'd call him Tom. And that was never his name, but it reminded me of my grandmother's cat, Tom, who I have, they have a picture of me squatting down at about the age of 2 or 3 with my arm over his back. And we're both looking down into the gully doing something together. And I felt like he still came into the family to be with us again. And that was like, okay. So I did some research on it, and there are some belief systems out there that totally say yes, animals reincarnate. And I'm with them on that for sure.
Yeah, I did. I don't know if you're familiar with Dolores Cannon. She was a past life regression hypnotist, and she wrote like 19 books chronicling her sessions, just incredible stuff. But one of my favorite books of hers is called Between Death and Life, and it's about where we go when we die and all this. But anyway, you can get a QHHT session. She trained all these practitioners, and I got one. And during it, I was told that my dog, Soda, had been my son in a past life. And that this life, she came back as like a spoiled, loves little dog because she needed like a break life, right? Sometimes we just need like a rest life. So, you know, I feel that so much for sure. But it's nice to hear it from you too.
Yes. And there's a lot of people that really don't, they think that they've only got to stay in that species category. And I've also heard people say things like, boy, my dog or my cat sure reminds me of my grandmother, you know? And I've met horses who have a relationship. Well, actually, and even cats that feel like a very deep bond. Husband-wife kind of, or, you know, co-partner kind of relationship. I had met a horse that I'd worked with for quite a while, and this person was passing away from cancer. She was married happily, and still he told me to tell her that if he'd been a man, a human, he would have fought her husband for her. It sounded like very 18th century dueling, like, but he had that strong of a sense of connection.
That's really funny.
Yes.
That's really cute.
I think she liked it, liked hearing it. Yeah, so it was good.
I had a weird experience with, so Soda passed away on May 25th of, so 2022. And then we ended up getting Wooly, my new dog, my current dog, in October. And we found out he was born the day after she died. And I always thought, like, oh, she used that day to train him to be our perfect dog or something, right? And like, she led us to him. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on that too.
Okay. She says, oh, we're telling all the stories today, aren't we? She's okay. So she wanted to match both of Wooly up with you all. That's what I said. She wanted to find somebody who she could bring into the family. And help you with moving on. Mm. She wanted to make sure you got the right personality that was going to not forget about her. She's not interested in that, obviously, with the 555, but finding that joy in life and a loving, furry soul. And she says that she did have some specific, what are the words for this? Training things, like how she'd like Wooly to interact. And so she did supervise him a little bit and get him ready for it. But how old is Wooly now?
He's about to be two.
He's about to be two. So just confirming she's still around.
Wooly? Yeah.
Soda is still doing the training. Sometimes when I'm here and doing it, I'm not as clear as I'd like to be. So please always make sure I'm saying it right.
Okay.
Yeah, so she is helping him figure out how to be around, you told me, around the baby, and how to be a good pup to the baby, and just making sure that he realizes that is not a doggy pup, and he's going to have to figure out that there's going to be a few different ways of interacting with the baby than he might do it with a little puppy. So
that's really weird that you said that, because first of all, he is obsessed with the baby. He like beyond our wildest dreams. We're like, we hope Wooly and the baby get along. He's like obsessed with the baby. He loves the baby. He cuddles the baby. He wants to give the baby kisses. Like first thing in the morning, he's like running to see the baby. And I always joke that he thinks it's his puppy. So it's like, it's very funny that you use those words.
Yeah. She wants to make sure that it all continues to go well.
That's really cute. I'll have to bring Wooly in at the end of this. Okay. So tell me about what it's like when the animals communicate with you. Like, do you hear them? Do you see them? Is it a feeling? Like, what is that like?
Oh, good stuff. So it can come through in many different ways, depending on the animal and also what they want to communicate. Because I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. So communicate, we usually think of words, but we have so many clairvoyant, clairaudience, blah, blah, all those different ways through our senses. We can use them all and they can use them all. So I hear things, I see, well, when I say see, I mean, in my mind's eye, it's like a memory. I see things. Here, I feel things in my body that they share. Like, I'll ask, how does that make you feel with an anxious? Dogs are anxious. Cats are. And I'll feel how their anxiety shows up in their body, or how are they feeling physically. So I'll feel it in my body. We can ask about their past, and I can get some information there. And so we're talking all the ways that the body uses to take in information you can use with connecting with our animals. Just in the telepathy, the mind to mind, or the energy between us. I've even had songs, you know, I was working with a DJ and his cat, and one of the songs, a song came through, and I shared the words of the song, Green Day, I think. And he goes, "That's my cat." I'm like, well, it came through as a song because you're a DJ. So there we go. Alternative rock DJ. So
do you think it's like the animal is specifically communicating with you in a way that would work for their person?
I think so. I haven't figured that out yet. I think that they're specifically doing it. And then my brain is also saying, okay, how do we get this across? How do we bring it across most clearly? What's going to work? And so between the two of us, we come up with something that's useful.
That's like really cool.
Yeah. I knew it was a DJ. So I do think that there's something we work it out and see what'll wake them up.
That makes sense, because I always think about like our higher self is communicating to us through signs and music and, you know, everything, all these different ways. So it makes sense that animals on the other side would too. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna grab Wooly and bring him in. Would you mind hanging for a second?
I would. Yes, okay. I would love to.
I think he wants to meet you. Come here. You know, I hear you out there. All right. You just got to promise not to bark at all the people walking by. Come here, Wool. He's a little bigger. Come here. Come here. I don't know if you can. Let's see. Oops, hold on. We got to figure out the best way to. There we go.
Hi, Wooly.
He's a golden doodle.
Yeah. Well, you're a good looking guy, Wooly.
He is.
Thanks for coming in and letting me take a look and say hello. I'm like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah. Any thoughts from Wooly?
All right. Well, he's pretty curious. He actually kind of jumped in to look around my house. And he's real excited because I got two to three-year-old dogs too. And he is pretty excited. Like he'd love to play with them. And I said, yeah, but you got to be nice to the cats. And, cats, he says, where? I said, well, the black cat is nice to you. The white cat, she's a, but be careful. And he's enjoying this connection. Thanks, Wooly. So is there anything? He is definitely trying, you know what, he is communicating with you, and he thinks you guys are on the verge of being able to, if you're not doing it already. He thinks he's getting through. And that just connecting in and listening, you're going to hear more of what he would like or how he can help with the baby. I don't know where that came in, but I think, you want to you want to teach the baby how to walk, huh? Okay, well, you have a chance to do that. All right, just let him do his own thing there. Make sure. He said he can't wait to get to do more with that guy.
I'm excited to see them play together.
I can see he's showing me like they're walking as they start to move together through the house, and he keeps an eye on him, and he can somehow see where it's going to go, and he's liking it. And he's going to continue to bark, he says. He says, oh, that's one of my good things. I love that. I'm sorry.
He has a very big bark. He's like such a sweet dog, and his bark is like so deep.
He's proud of his bark. If I can put it that way. He's like, yeah. I'm a big boy.
He's a good boy.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for talking to him.
Great. I hope this was enjoyable. So it's off the cuff. We'll see. Hopefully it meant something to you.
Yeah. It'll be fun. You said that maybe him and I can start communicating on that level. That'll be fun. Any advice on how to do that, I guess, is a great question.
So I would say that the first thing is, I kind of said it, but I'll say it more clearly, is he's already communicating with you. And I think that, I believe that is true for all of us and the animals who've chosen to live with us, that they're like, human, why aren't you getting it? I'm the equivalent of screaming it at you. And so quieting, I don't know if we're able to quiet our minds all the time, but just listening for something to pop in, and just trusting the first thing that pops in is real. I learned that from Tina Zion, medical intuitive. And and imagination and intuition, they're always going to feel like the same thing. So don't dissuade yourself from believing you got something if something came through, even if it's a confirmation of something you already know.
I like that. And I think that that's really important to highlight. Like I said, I've gotten those QHHT sessions, the past life regression hypnosis, and it's so vivid, right? When you're in that place and you're seeing your past life. And like, I was bawling at one point when my son died in there in that past life. And it was so real, but it feels like you're just using your imagination. And they say, like, so many people wake up and they're like, wow, I had this great experience and I must've just made it up, right? Cause it feels like your imagination. So I love that you said that. I think that's really important for people to hear.
It is. And it's especially, hopefully something will happen to you that, that happened to me with my dog Mitsubishi. He saw me do some energy healing on Eddie, the girl dog, and she passed away anyway. I started to do some energy healing on his back when he, dogs get older and the back end isn't working quite as well. And he looked at me and I said to myself, if that dog could talk, he just said, don't try that. Nope. Put a curse word in there on me. It hurt Eddie. And he gave me that look and he jumped off the couch. And I went, I couldn't have made that up. Right. So that's another thing. Sometimes something will happen. And you're like, oh no, this was not something I was expecting. Like my dog is going to swear at me like a sailor. You know. But then we had a conversation later and I explained to him that it really helped Eddie transition. She had an easier transition and she came back to me to let me know that she was okay. But that's another thing, is like, you weren't even thinking about it and this thing popped in. That's a good one to start trusting that you are getting things.
Yeah, that makes sense. Usually that first gut reaction is what you go with, right?
It is. It is.
So in your experience talking to all these animals, is there an overarching theme that they are trying to communicate with their people?
Well, I would say once those who choose to be with us, almost 100%, whether it is conscious or not, would like to bring out the best in us. Well, I never thought of it quite like that. Thank you. That they're giving us a chance to be the best person we could be. And again, is this like everybody got together and said, okay, we're going to go into the human's house and see if we can make them nicer? I don't know. I've always wondered about that. Is that why we're bringing animals into our house so that we can start to open our hearts up a little more to the rest of the world, the other humans, the other animals that are still out in the wild?
That gave me goosebumps.
I'm wondering about that. But certainly it does, when I'm connecting with animals, there's always that theme of how can you human open your heart a little wider and have a little more patience, a little more understanding, a little more love than you thought you could have for me. And I know for me that has shifted my understanding also. As my heart's open to my animals, I allow that to show up in more places in more ways. That has been my intention. So I'm going to go with that one.
That's really beautiful. I love that because, you know, they just feel so much more evolved emotionally, right? They're, like I said, they're like pure love. And I've said this to my husband multiple times, like, how lucky are we that we live on a planet that has dogs? like how lucky are we? It could be anything else. And we got dogs. Like they're the best thing in the world.
That is so true. And it really, I know that we humans are there to help each other evolve too, but the fact that our animals, for the most part, don't keep grudges and don't count up all the ways they've been hurt by somebody, and they're always giving us almost always able to give us another chance, some human another chance to show them that they're a good human being. I think that is such a gift because we humans have a very hard time with forgiving and letting go and seeing that's still a good being over there. And the dogs and the cats and whoever else lives in our house, I think they give us that chance. They show us how to do that.
You made me like tear up a little thinking about that, about like rescued dogs and cats who get adopted again and like just become a completely loving, trusting, like different version of themselves almost.
Yeah. I've had some tough cases come in. I've got the two we're working with that Wooly just met. And the people didn't think they were going to be adopted. One was rehomed 3 times, I think. We were the third place that she came to. And the other one, the Humane Society said, we didn't think this doggy was ever going to get adopted. And they're doing great. They're not perfect. But boy, oh boy, how much love has opened up between us and changes in behavior and things like that. And it's, oh golly, it's divine.
So, I mean, that's so beautiful. And I love that you did that. So how have you helped them with your communication, and how do you help other animals with, you know, behavior issues with your communication?
I start by finding out where they're at, like emotionally and mentally, like what is causing your reaction? My doggy Newt was very, very fearful. If he met somebody and we were out on a walk and we went down to comfort him, he tried to climb up your back to hide. It was his amazing. And so as it felt that, we would start talking to him and sending him energy about the fact that this is a safe house. We're going to be with you every day. And we, you know, send him that energy. We do that with others. And sometimes we even go back into their past and clear out whatever huge trauma that may have brought them to this place. You know, and we keep telling them the truth, but there's a vibration that you bring to it, the emotional stuff and the connection that's very deep. We do that, do the healing, releasing some of the negative things. When we brought our second dog in, Mally, Newt was so attached to me. He liked playing with her, but then he was jealous because he didn't want to share me with her. And he and I had a conversation, and I said, there's so much love. You know, look at my heart, baby. There's so much love for you. You're the number one doggy. Well, we're going to keep her. She really needs a place to live. And so it wouldn't just be words, but you can feel, I think, maybe the truth behind that, and you show them. And that's what I would do. That's what I do, is show them the reality of where they're living now and who they're with.
Do you think that, I mean, as you were talking, I was thinking, like, they can read our energy so well, right? Do you think that anyone who has adopted a dog with behavioral issues can just say those things and have that energy, and the dogs kind of like pick up on it, like even if that they're not an animal communicator? Like, I guess my question is, like, can pets understand us?
Yeah, I think so. I think they can. I think that people have done that. Let's see. When it's said deep in their heart, you know, heart to heart as well as mind to mind, and that energy of loving and saying things like, this is for your forever home, and using a version of animal communication, which is like, keep showing them sunrises. Like, every day you wake up, here I am, you're going to see me. And even if you live in a place with four seasons, like I do in Virginia, you know, you start to show them every season, if they're old enough, and just say, we're still together. So you're using visuals and the love and also the words. So I think people can do it. Just use all those different senses.
Yeah, that's cool. I like to just tell him, like, hey, I'm leaving. I'm just going to the store. I'll be back in an hour. But if anything happens to me, you're going to be taken care of and loved by, you know, whoever. Like, I don't know that if he like understands it or not, but I always say that kind of thing to him, just because, I don't know, it's got to be kind of weird being in the house and just having people leave and not know where they're going or how long they're going to be gone, right? Like,
yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it is. You show them, well, I started doing this pretty early, as I'd say, I'm going to leave, I'll be back. And I show them in my mind's eye, and I imagine that they're getting it, me coming back through the door, say, so don't worry, we'll be back. We'll be back. You know, do what you like to do. And again, using, if you're gone for longer, you again use those sunrises, and you show them how many sunrises, and then you show yourself walking back in the door, and even show them who's taking care of them, or where are they going, if they're, somebody else is going to take care of them somewhere else.
Do it.
But add the visuals, please.
Yeah. I'll start doing that. I like that idea a lot. All right. So I can't believe it's already been an hour. Is there anything that you want to leave listeners with? Anything else that you want them to know about animal communication?
I think I want to keep on the theme of the animals being part of our own evolution. Mm. And those that choose to come into our families, especially in this time where some of us are sleeping on the beds with our animals. This is a key, could be a key for us to evolve into more decent human beings. And animal communication is one of the ways to do that, connect more deeply, understand their point of view and have them understand ours. And, you know, if you can do interspecies, maybe we can start doing human-human conversations too. I think it's a big part of it.
I was going to say, it's funny that we need animals to be able to talk to other humans, but it's so true.
I think so. That's my take on it, with the fact that this is what I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I love, that's a beautiful note to leave us on. So if people want to work with you, where can they find you? What are you up to? What are your offers? All that good stuff.
Okay. I have put everything that I can into my website, sacredgrove.com. And so you can find out what I do. And if you decide you want to hear more, because I do newsletters and we talk about all kinds of stuff, if you want to get the my little story, 5 things your pets want you to know, when you sign up for the newsletter, you will get that. I also wrote a bestseller, Peace in Passing, Comfort for Loving Humans During Animal Transitions. And you can find that on my website too, because I've done a lot with people and their pets transitioning. So those are the top pieces right now.
Thank you. And that book sounds so needed. I know when I lost Soda, I needed things like that. I wish I had found you. I wish I had known about your book. There was some other animal communication book that my mom sent me that was really helpful. So, you know, if you're listening and, you know, you're grieving the loss of a pet, go check out Mary Beth's book. And then if you have an animal in your life and you love him or her, go check out Mary Beth's website and find that deeper connection. Please like, comment, share, subscribe, and send this to someone you think could use it. Mary Beth, thank you so much for joining today. It was really lovely to have you on and talk about one of the best things in this universe. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chris. It was a lovely conversation. Thanks for making it easy for me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Have a good rest of your day, everyone. I'll see you next time.